About as exciting as you figured with that slate of Monday night football games. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, welcome in on this Tuesday to Bet Sweats. We're hanging out with you for the next few hours. Brad Powers joining us in hour number two, 10:20 Eastern, to talk some college football, his early looks on the week. Also, Will Brinson in the final hour of the show talking some NFL. We will get you set for the MLB playoffs, which get going today. It's baseball all day. I'm sure not a lot of productivity at a lot of jobs. Heisman watch. It's Tuesday, so we do that. We'll go over World Series MVP, today's slate of games in Major League Baseball, series prices. So a lot to cover. How you doing, Sam?
I have a text I'd like to read you that I got last night. Let me pull it up real quick. The room bit is stupid. Apparently somebody faded the room yesterday and didn't do too well for the first time all season because the room had a 4-1 night. Yeah. I can't tell you who it was.
Yeah. Why?
4-1 though.
Why?
Because I don't want to out this person. Hey, man. The favorites both won, and the room went 4-1. That was how I would recap Monday night. You?
Yeah, I mean, did we think it was never, ever going to have a winning night? Is that what we thought? Like, I see some idiots on Twitter. I'm like, you're a moron. Okay. This is classic betting. This is why you don't want to follow someone after a long hot streak, right? And I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying people are going to get mad. Like, oh, my God, the room had a winning night. The room is dumb. You guys are idiots, blah, blah, blah. Why would you even suggest? Okay, where you been? For 4 weeks, it was awful. Like, have you looked at what's happened? Look at Circa Millions. Look at the public plays. People are that are spending $1,000 an entry. 4 weeks in, they're 5-15. The public has sucked on everything. Player props, whatever. This, let me remind you, this is how it goes during an NFL season. This is how it always happens. We don't know when it's going to be public, when it's going to be more sharp, but there are ebbs and flows to a season. It happens every year. Sometimes it's starts off one way, sometimes it starts off the other. Or it'll be, you know, like the sharp bets are hitting early, you know, the anti-public plays are hitting early, and then we'll see 2 months where it's all public. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but this is normal. Like, if it was easy to figure out, we'd all quit our jobs and the books would be bankrupt, right? There wouldn't be as many sports books as they are. So chill out. I don't know. Like, we thought this was never going to happen. Sunday Night Football, the popular plays hit. Why? Because there were 80 points and the public bets on over. Last night, they hit as well. Does this mean for the next week you've got to go against the room? I don't know. That's for you to decide. We are just providing the information. And we noticed that they were hitting between 15 and 20%. So we brought that to everyone's attention. If you want to fade the room, go ahead. You can do, or go with the room. You can go with them too. Go ahead. You have fun.
No.
I'm not saying you. I'm talking to the people.
I know how this story ends. Yeah, I know how it ends. And the ironic part of when you do a segment like this, when the bartender got hot last year, People just start losing their minds when it does turn positive for a smidge of time. Mm-hmm. The guy's had 5 seasons picking games, and he's won one. And it's off. Bartender's sharp now. No, he's not. Neither is the room. And it's so funny how this works out. The room goes 4-1 last night, and I did tail Dobbins under rushing yards. The room head over. I fade-tailed, I guess. Right. I guess. 4-1 last night, still 13-22 on the season with NFL props, down 13 units.
You want to back that?
No.
I don't want to back that. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. We'll be here to watch it, right? But like, okay, this is one example, and it was on player props. I haven't seen the room do well on sides in anything, NFL or college. So I'm curious.
No, I haven't goes. Either. I have the numbers. Paul has them together. NFL sides 5-14-1, yeah, down 10.4 units.
And you know what? And that's the super contest record of the top five picks. 5-14-1, exact same.
And the college football year to date through week 5, 6-23-1, down 19.3 units.
The room is stupid.
The room's room sucks. Dumb bit.
Because I lost my bet because I followed it because I decided I was going to go against the room. So it's dumb.
Okay. It's fine. Good luck. Oh, man. All right. So the lead last night, at least in the first game, Miami 27-21, your winners. They get their first win of the year. The Jets are 0-4 on the season. Miami covers. They go over the total. Tyreek Hill. He's obviously done for the year. It comes out dislocated knee last night, and then we're finding out this morning that he has torn multiple ligaments in his knee, including ACL. He might not be ready for next year. So that's where you're at with Tyreek Hill. He's going to be done for the year. The Dolphins win because of the turnover margin. I mean, if you read these box scores on a weekly basis, if you look at a handful of games, it's going to be the same story again and again. This is how the NFL works. You have one team that will dominate in the yards, right? How'd they lose? Let's keep scrolling. Most times, it's turnovers. Sometimes red zone, but most times turnovers. So the Jets outgain the Dolphins by over 100 yards. They go 7.1 to 5.4 yards per play, but the difference, those three fumbles lost. Dolphins plus three in turnover category, they end up winning the game, but long term, they're obviously more worried about Tyreek Hill. They're not going to have him moving forward. So now Waddle is their first receiver.
I'm not a doctor, nor will I pretend to be one, but I saw some of the footage of that injury. I don't know. I don't know if he ever plays again. Right. Again, not a doctor. I hope he's fine. This is an injury that's going to linger with him probably forever. We've seen some pretty bad ones over the years. Theismann, McGahee, Tyreek Hill's is very bad. So bad that you know it's bad when the TV announcers cut away. Like, we'll be right back. And he had said that he was smiling and trying to laugh so he wouldn't think about the pain. Just completely shredded that whole knee. And that's very unfortunate for a player who's played at a high level for a very long time. On the flip side, the Jets are still the Jets. 0-4. Aaron Glenn's at the podium, looking lost already. Worst start the Jets have had since 2020, 0-4. It's not a good football team. Just not. I don't even think it was a good game, to be honest with you. I mean, neither game was any good. I had a 93-minute delay yesterday. My flight was delayed that long, so I was up against it again yesterday. The hits keep coming, huh? Your boy just can't catch a break.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
And then the Delta Sky Wi-Fi or whatever was in and out. And when I finally got ABC to work, one of the first things I heard, and I retweeted it right away because it made me laugh. I finally got the game on the TV on the plane. And Troy Aikman says, quote, "The product's just not very good. I'm going to be honest. It's not good." Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, great. I haven't missed anything yet. All the flags, all the penalties, all the crap that goes with these bad teams. And not to say Denver's bad, but there's a lot last night that you could take away from and think, wow, these three teams are not good. Miami, New York, Cincinnati. And I see some of the Bengals fans now are clamoring for Jameis because Jake Browning, we know, is not the answer. Joe Burrow's the answer. He's hurt. Oof. You know, I did pick Bengals last night. Whatever. It's a bet that lost. It never had a chance. It was 21-3 at the half. And you have a team that can't score, needing to get multiple touchdowns. But Aikman's one of the lead analysts and has been for a long time. And for Troy Aikman, multiple Super Bowl champ, to come out and say the product's not very good on national television, that says a lot.
Aikman's also used to getting better games. the league has made a point to giving Monday Night Football, that broadcast, more competitive games. He got a crap game last night. Now, when you make this on the schedule before the year starts, you don't expect it to be garbage. It's because of Burrow. Burrow's in that game, it changes it completely. Cincinnati at Denver is actually a pretty good game under normal conditions, but now you don't have your starting quarterback, and that changes everything. 512 yards to 159. They outgained them by over 350 yards. Are you kidding me? That was embarrassing. And it's been embarrassing for Cincinnati ever since the injury. I was thinking, okay, we're going to get a better effort out of them. Browning is not this bad. Oh, he is this bad. He's a lot worse. I can't believe it. Like, you've got those talented players, Chase and Higgins. I'm watching Chase after the game, and he looks defeated, man. And they're asking him, like, is it the targets? He's like, no. It's like, what I have? Like, eight targets? It's normally 6 to 8 targets for me. That's normal. But we know it's the quarterback. 150, like 200 is bad. And they're just above 150 last night in a game that was over throughout. Couldn't do anything. Couldn't move the ball. And Bengals defense, I mean, it's all bad for the Bengals, right? Like, where are they in this? They have no defense. We know that. They give up over 500 yards on Monday Night Football. Terrible effort. I got news for you. Changing the defensive coordinator ain't going to fix it. Al Golden ain't fixing anything. And then now offensively, you have nothing because you have no Burrow. You have no run game. You have no aerial attack. What's the difference between Cincinnati and some of the worst teams in the league? What's the difference between the Jets and the Bengals right now?
From a power rating standpoint, they're probably as close as it could be. I would say on a pick 'em, maybe one. Cincinnati minus one on a neutral.
Yeah.
It's hard because you're catching up to the Bengals. I mean, you have a high power rating on them coming into the season because they have Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow can fix a lot of things and cover up a lot of the issues with the roster. But when they don't have their best player to get their weapons the ball and the defense is already bleeding out, I mean, to say that out loud through a month that Cincy and the Jets are numerically almost equal is crazy. Did not see that one coming. Also, Surtain on Chase last night was awesome. It wasn't a lot. 13 snaps, Surtain on Chase. One catch, 8 yards. That ain't going to cut it.
No. Lions next week for the Bengals. Yikes. After that, at Lambeau. Pittsburgh.
Oh, good.
That Pittsburgh game is a Thursday night game. That is likely a 5-game losing streak after the Burrow injury, right? I mean, that's where we're at with them. They do get the Jets. They get the Bears. Man. Okay. I don't know. If I'm Cincinnati and things go like you expect, I'm not even bringing Burrow back this year. What? Why? Why? Because you're paying him a lot of money? Are you going to bring Burrow back? If they are out of the playoff race, if things go like we expect, they continue down this road, does Burrow play if he's ready early December? Early December is week 14 at the Buffalo Bills.
I would not play him. I agree with you. Just mark this season off, count it as a loss, and come back next year. Every time the Bengals get blown out, I think of that old meme where it's Penei Sewell blocking for Burrow and Burrow's throwing the ball to whoever is wide open. And then the bottom of the meme is Ja'Marr Chase running deep, wide open, and Burrow's on the ground because they have no offensive line. That was the old debate, right? Do they want Ja'Marr Chase or do they want Penei Sewell? They took Ja'Marr Chase. They felt good about it, but they have not protected their quarterback. You know who else is starting to get hit? I was talking about this yesterday with a couple guys that cover the NFL. Justin Herbert is starting to get hit a ton.
Injuries.
And we saw that against the Giants. Well, Slater's out. Now Alt has an ankle.
Yep.
That kid, as good as he is getting smoked. They need to keep him upright like the Bengals couldn't keep Burrow upright.
Yep. Go ahead. If it's bad, let it be bad and take the best offensive lineman and protect Burrow. and get some help on defense in those other early rounds. Yep, multiple injuries. They're adding up. Becton, too, he's down right now for the Chargers. So cluster injuries, we're seeing that in a number of spots. Heisman watch on the other side. Plenty of MLB coverage today. This is Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. We do this every Tuesday, breaking down the updates in the market. And there's a lot of movement once again. This is Bet Sweats Show. Oh, Sammy P. Bet underscore Sweats on X. Sam at SP Shoot. I'm at Joe Ostrowski. We're here weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. We'll get to the MLB games, wild card games today in 20 minutes from right now. Start to look at those series prices as well. But, Sam, we quickly mentioned it yesterday, and then we realized, oh, wait, we got another new favorite. Looky here. Biggest win of the weekend, you're going to be the new favorite. So every week so far, we've had a new favorite, and right now it's Oregon's Dante Moore. And the second favorite, Alabama's Ty Simpson, which you told people to get out ahead of if you're going to be backing Alabama and you like Alabama going the rest of the way, that Simpson was going to be in the mix. And he is in the mix at around plus 850 as the second favorite. Third favorite, I'm seeing Jeremiah Smith. It kind of depends where you end up looking. But Smith is the only non-quarterback anywhere near the top of the leaderboard.
What makes me nervous about somebody that doesn't have Dante Moore is that the schedule is very easy the rest of the way. Mm. So you get through Penn State, awesome win on the road, whiteout, night game, Happy Valley. Great win. Moore was okay. At 248 passing yards, it's okay. Three touchdowns, no picks. That's really good. And then he had 35 rushing yards. Is that a Heisman performance? Maybe. Maybe. Problem is, you look at that schedule. They play Indiana in a couple weeks. That's a big game for them, but it's in Autzen. At Rutgers, Wisconsin, at Iowa, home against Minnesota and USC, at Washington to end the season. If you have anybody that isn't Dante Moore, whether it be Carson Beck or John Mateer or Jeremiah Smith or Ty Simpson or whoever, Mendoza, Pavia, Marcel Reed, it doesn't matter. You need Oregon to slip up, right? I mean, they go 12-0.
Yep.
It's going to look really nice for Dante Moore to take over this Oregon team and take them right back to a 12-0 record. Dylan Gabriel was in the room last year for the Heisman. Didn't win it, but he was there. I think people think this team is better, and there's a chance that Dante Moore doesn't lose a single game. If you're holding somebody else, you need a loss. A loss would be great, whether it be against Indiana or that last week maybe at Washington, Saturday, November 29th. That's my fear now. I have some good tickets at good prices. I'm starting to get a little nervous that Oregon is going to just run the table, and then they'll go, oh, here, Dante Moore, Heisman Trophy winner.
What if Mendoza beats Moore? Is he the favorite?
I hope that happens.
Because so yes. Because I have no more as well.
Because you know Indiana at some point is going to lose too. Indiana's got, I don't want to say a much tougher schedule, but they got to go to Penn State later in the season. Indiana, awesome season so far, 5-0. Got to go to Oregon, got to go to Penn State. So yes, a loss for Oregon to Indiana would be awesome. And then Mendoza, four picks at Penn State, please.
There's a lot that needs to happen. So yeah, so it's Moore and Simpson at the very top. I mentioned Jeremiah Smith. Beck did not play. He's just kind of lurking there. He's in the top five as the odds go. You know, he was like higher and then slipped back and then didn't play. So you understand why he's just hanging out there, but still in the top five. So is Mendoza. And then you kind of get to the next tier. Obviously, we're all going to focus on the tickets that we have in pocket. I'll just say this. Mateer, right after the injury, he was 100-1. He has a surgery, 80-1. Yesterday, 66-1. Today, 40-1. That's your best number. A lot of places are shorter in the 30s. Nothing's changed in a week outside of the surgery. Like, nothing timeline-wise. There have been rumors out there but it's gone from 100-1 to 40-1 in a week. We know he's not playing this Saturday, and they said he's probably, they didn't announce he's out for the Texas-Oklahoma game, but given the timeline that they put out there, it suggested that he was not going to be ready for that game, but it goes from 100 down to 40, the best number this morning.
I would say the two players this weekend that have awesome opportunities to climb the board, number one would be Diego Pavia. I mean, that goes without being said. Vanderbilt goes into Bama. Bama just had a huge win. Bama beats Georgia in Athens. Now Bama's back. Simpson's awesome. DeBoer on life support maybe after Florida State. Now DeBoer's good. Now he's walking around with his chest out. What if Vanderbilt beats Bama?
Again?
You know, if that happens, it'll be the Pavia show. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not calling my shot. Bama's a 10.5, 11-point favorite right now. BetMGM has 10.5. That said, Diego Pavia had his way with this defense last year. And they carried the goalposts around Nashville. I mean, he was very good. Those dual-threat quarterbacks give Alabama issues because you got to cover sideline to sideline. If they win, I'm looking at BetMGM right now. They have Pavia at 15-1. If they beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, he goes to 7-1, 8-1. He has to. If they win. If they win.
Okay.
The other one. Then, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
No, just on Pavia. I was thinking about it. Like, the numbers are adding up so far. And he's had one game where he can sort of impress South Carolina, but now it's coming out that, okay, maybe they're not as good as some people were thinking. But, like, as far as, like, popping with numbers, he's second in EPA in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Second. He's tied for second in QBR as well. And it's not just Bama. It's Bama, then LSU, Missouri, in Austin. Like, he, the next month, he could – there's a scenario where he's the favorite for the Heisman Trophy, given what is in front of him for the next month. But, like, I think something we're going to keep going back to is, do you have to be in the playoff? Now that we're at this many teams and we expect it to be a quarterback that wins it, do you have to be a quarterback that is one of 12 teams in the playoff? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because we don't have a large enough sample size. I kind of lean yes, but you're right. Like, this is the name that I was targeting when, you're right, looking at things and what's to come in the next month. And then Auburn, Kentucky, things ease up a little bit down the final stretch. But yeah, there's a world where he's the favorite in a couple weeks.
I don't know that I'm going to bet him. Yeah. I'm just throwing out the possibility there. And if he does become a serious contender in a couple weeks, you're going to start to hear more about this kid. And that's when voters tend to get emotional or they tend to buy into the story. I don't think a lot of people realize this. I do because I bet on him when he was playing here. Diego Pavia started his college career at New Mexico Military Institute. I remember because I bet on him when he was there. And then after that, he goes to New Mexico State. And then after New Mexico State, he goes to Vanderbilt, the mighty SEC. And if he can slay Bama the second time, that's a big runway for him. And you're going to hear a lot about his career and his adversity and his mom and all that stuff. It all plays into it. When the success comes, the stories follow. The other one, this is a huge game for Miami, Florida State. Now, look, you missed the best numbers on Beck, obviously. I see MGM has 9. Other books have 10 and 12. But if he helps Miami blow out Florida State, he's going to be the favorite. He will be. As a Miami guy that has enough Beck stock and Hurricane playoff stock, I hate that Florida State just lost. I hate it. I would rather Florida State have torqued Virginia and come in all high and mighty and then get leveled by Miami. My big fear is that Florida State shows that hunger and upsets Miami, at which point Carson Beck then goes from 9-1, 10-1 to 20-1. I am terrified about that, Joe.
Do you think he can win if they lose this weekend?
Don't feel great about it. Probably not.
Like, I'm looking at the road. Like, where is he going to be able to impress?
This is probably it. Louisville, like, that's that's it.
Probably. There's no other ranked games left, current ranked teams left on this, their last seven games. None.
Yeah, and if people look at him at the end of the year and say, oh, well, they lost their biggest game, although I would argue beating Notre Dame week one was a bigger game.
Agree.
Losing to an in-state rival on national television midway through the season, that game will be pedestaled more than a week one game against Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yep. Beaten up, yeah. NC State, Va Tech, Pittsburgh at the end of the year. If you're in a race with somebody else, is that going to lock it in? That's going to be tough. I think you're right that if they lose this game on Saturday night, it's going to be really tough. He's going to kind of drop out. Like, his number's going to free fall, and then it's just kind of be stuck in no man's land because it's not like, oh, wow, look, did you see the game he had against Stanford? Like, okay. You know, Louisville, both at home. How is he going to pop? He popped because of Notre Dame. That's what happened. And then against South Florida, a team that was getting a lot of hype, goes for 340, beat their ass. Like, okay, now you skyrocket up the charts. They lose. He falls back into the 20s, 30s, whatever, and it's going to be hard to get back. So, yeah, I think that's the case. And if they lose this weekend, he's going to drop out.
I still laugh, maybe unfairly. I still laugh when you scroll through this list. I have the MGM list up right now, and you're like, oh, yep, uh-huh, yep, yep. Oh, 20 to 1, Arch Manning. Which makes me laugh.
20? Like,
yeah, 20. You should be 80 to 1.
I was going to make a joke like, oh, is Arch close? Like, I assume, yeah, I was assuming he's 40, 50 at least.
He should be much higher, but that's the name. It's all the name, and it's the liability that's built in. So there was this study, sort of like this poll, that was asking football fans who's important, which guys move the meter. I was in a meeting about this yesterday. In the NFL, it's mostly quarterbacks and Travis Kelce, naturally. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift.
Really?
Yep. God. In college football, it's mostly coaches. And the two coaches that click more than any coaches are Dabo Swinney and Bill Belichick. That's just how people view. That's who people know. Okay? The most recognizable college football player is Arch Manning. Why?
Yeah.
Why? But that's what people know.
Last name.
Because we've been trained. We've been trained. Those are the three biggest names in college football right now. Bill Belichick, who's been there for a cup of coffee, Dabo Swinney, who has been awful this year, and Arch Manning. Those are the names.
Wow. Well, the big names have left in the last few years, too. So that's, right, like you think about a few years ago, you asked this very question, and it's very different responses. Guys that aren't coaching any longer. Wow, that's amazing. The Arch thing, though, we get it. Like, all summer, it's put into your brain. He's going to win the Heisman. He's the next coming. He's going to be the number one pick in next year's draft. Okay. Probably not going to be in next year's draft at this point right now. That's amazing. Yeah. Media can do a lot. Hype can do a lot. Commercials, all that stuff. If Ohio State is the best team in the nation, if that's clear at the end, does Julian Sain have a legit chance?
I don't think so. I don't think they let him do enough. It almost feels when you watch him that they don't trust him. They trust their defense, and if they need to make a big play, they'll open it up. But from here, from where I sit, it looks like Ryan Day is going to just trust the defense and let him do just enough. That's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense in looking for spots that would really grab people's attention. They host Penn State early November. You know, of course, the game at the end of the year. It's at the Big House, but yeah, it would be tough on him. I don't know. I think Pavia, I think you're right on that. That's the one this week that has our attention. We're not telling you to bet on Pavia. We're just saying, look, here's the scenario. And in a couple weeks, if everything is right in Pavia's world, he could be the favorite or like top two, top three with Moore and Simpson.
Yeah. Marcel Reed's another one. Those two have the same price right now at BetMGM. Marcel Reed, Diego Pavia. They weren't even near the top of the board. Think about all those guys. Let's go back to the summer. Arch Manning, Cade Klubnik, DJ Lagway, Garrett Nussmeier. Nah.
Wow. Dude, it's every year, man. This happens every year. It's like James Franklin stuff going on with the Heisman Trophy. All right, today's MLB wildcard games on the other side, the BetMGM Network. Wildcard day, four games, back to back to back to back. Jake Kassan watching every moment of it, every single pitch. Welcome back. You've got Bet Sweats here on the BetMGM Network. It starts with Detroit and Cleveland. It does not stop all day. It's great, man. We get this wild card format, take two of three, and who knows how many games we end up having on Thursday. We've got the Cubs and the Padres as your second game. Red Sox, Yankees, game number three. And then the late game, of course, out west, you've got the Dodgers hosting the Reds. Are you a fan of this format? Do you like this as opposed to what it used to be with the wild card?
I don't know. Incomplete at this point. I like that we get games all day. I'll say that. I mean, to have the game at 1:08 and then 3:08, 6:08, 9:08 is really cool. You can watch most of them without a lot of overlap. Now, you're going to get some overlap between Tigers, Guardians, and Padres, Cubs. And maybe the eighth, ninth inning of Cubs, Padres leads into the first inning of Boston, New York. But they're spaced out pretty well. There will be a lot of people across the country watching Scoobal in their cubicles today at 1:08 Eastern. Mm-hmm. How about the total in that game? Six. Between Scoobal
like
and Williams. Yeah, so do I. 3-1 final. So do I. I did crosstalk with our favorite show, Daily Tip, and both came in. They came in blasting
over
Nick Pivetta for his road splits. No, the Cubs, big Cubs show today. Yeah,
they're so big on home road splits, like so.
That's the handicap. Nick Pivetta bat on the road. I like the Padres. Nothing says playoff success like Matthew Boyd as your number one starter in game one.
Look,
I just know better.
Yeah. Pavetta's a problem. They run to the bullpen. It's the playoffs. Like, he might get pulled just for having a couple guys on base. Do we forget how the playoffs work? Like, he might not even be given an opportunity to allow runs.
I'm not laying $1.25 with Matthew Boyd. Not happening. I think if you study the stats, you could fall for the Cubs, understandably so.
Yeah.
I don't really care too much about regular season stats in the playoffs. I just don't. It's a different game. I mean, I covered the playoffs for many years in Chicago and saw guys that had really good regular seasons turn into mashed potatoes in the playoffs. And maybe that's not fair to lump that on Boyd, who's been an amazing story. I mean, this guy was basically out of the league when the Cubs picked him up, and now he's starting the playoffs in game number one. It's a great story. I still don't trust him. Sorry. That's just how I feel. Mm-hmm. Not that Nick Pivetta's Cy Young or anything like that. I like San Diego. I like him in the series. I like him today.
I kind of lean under on that game. Let's bring in our guy, Jake Kassan, as we go over all of these games. First off, Jake, the lead here. Happy birthday, my friend. It feels like it was meant to be, right? You've got the wild card round, baseball all day. It's a marathon, and it ends up happening on your birthday.
Yeah, anytime you could have a 28th birthday on a Tuesday, you got to do it. I've always said that.
Yes, of course. And be at the studio all damn day. Like,
what are your
favorite days of the year? Yes. What are your favorite days of the year? What? Well, let's go through these games. First off, we started to talk about Skubal and Garrett Williams or Gavin Williams going at it with Cleveland. Two awesome pitchers. There's a reason that the total is only six. Do you have a side? If you have a serious play, throw it out as well. But I was serious at six. I do like the under. There's a reason that we are at this number of six here. What do you think?
Well, it's also the two offenses, right? Like, I think you guys said it. Like, this game reeks of 3-1, and it's just a rock fight the entire time, mostly because it's Detroit and Cleveland. But I like Cleveland in the game a little bit, too. Like, what about Detroit in the last 2 months makes you think they can win any game at all? I know it's Skubal, but, like, doesn't this game reek of 2-1 Guardians, 3-1 Guardians? I don't trust this Tigers team at all right now.
So then you're on Cleveland for the series.
Yeah, I mean, I like Cleveland in the series. I like a lot of dogs in the series. What could go wrong? Like the Padres, like the Red Sox, like the Guardians. Can't wait. Can't wait to see how they all just lose.
That's been going. That's how it's been going, actually. A lot of the times, the lower seed ends up winning. That's just what's happened so far. Not saying that it's a trend worth playing. I will say a trend that has happened a lot in this round, unders. Those have been hitting at a very high clip. Okay, what about just going chronological order? Let's go Pivetta, Boyd, San Diego, Chicago over at Wrigley. Are you sticking to the Padres? Because I know you like a big picture.
Stuck to the Padres. The Cubs being such heavy favorites in this series, and I mean, they're like minus 120, but still, the fact you're getting plus money with the Padres, to me, is laugh out loud funny. I mean, like you said, Sam, like Pivetta's not going to get the chance to screw this up. The Padres have an awesome bullpen, and they know it, and they have the arms. Like, they're not going to hang him out there to allow 3, 4, 5 runs. The hook's going to be pretty quick. And I just, Matthew Boyd as a favorite, I know he had a good year, great story, great redemption arc. His last month has been not awesome at all. So he's coming in with not great form. I'll take the Padres. I don't understand the price. Maybe I'm the idiot, but I Padres for my lungs today and in the series.
So, well, you know why they're favored in the series, because they're at home. That's the only reason why. Every game is
and they're
home,
the Cubs.
So yeah, and they've I heard this a lot yesterday and today. Cubs are really good at home. Okay, fine.
So is every playoff team.
If you don't win today, though, here's my issue with the Cubs. If you don't win today, you got to win back-to-back games against Dylan Cease and Yu Darvish. Mm-hmm. I don't love that path for them. Even though they're at home and they're going to play the stupid song if they win, fine, whatever. I just don't like it. And maybe I'm way off here. But I think the Padres are my favorite bet of the first round. I'm not going to make a lot of bets. I'd be lying if I said I was completely locked into baseball. This is a football time for us. But I see the Cubs at minus 120 today, minus 125, and I'm like, nope, not me. Will not be me. A very trendy team, Joe. Red Sox. I think they're a little too trendy. It makes me kind of nervous. You're going to hear a lot about Crochet today. And I love Garrett Crochet. I'm a big Crochet guy. I was on Crochet a long time ago when the White Sox drafted him. So I know about his potential. Find me somebody on the Yankees in the series. Like, you just don't
hear
it.
What does that mean? Oh.
Everybody's picking Red Sox upset.
You're also in Boston, though.
No, yeah, but I haven't been here for 5 days. So I mean that's not what I'm getting at. I'm just saying, like,
okay,
the more content I see and the more things I read, national media, Red Sox. Red Sox are the hot team, offense is clicking. Alex Cora is going to push all the right buttons. Aaron Boone stinks. Like, I'm hearing a ton of that. And then you look at the market and the Yankees opened $1.70 and now they're $1.90. So even though nobody, and I use air quotes, nobody's picking the Yankees, the line has moved 20 cents on the series market. And that's always a little alarming, Jake. That's all I'm saying.
You're right. And it's like you log on to Twitter.com and it's all Red Sox. It's everybody clowning the Yankees. It's Volpe stinks. Aaron Boone's a clown. This bullpen stinks. It makes me nervous. I do honestly think that the Red Sox are the better team, though. I'll be with everybody. Maybe we all just win, but I like the Red Sox in this spot. I like them today. The under would be a play in that game too, Fried and Crochet, but I just think that the Red Sox have the better bullpen for sure. I mean, Chapman's been unbelievable this year. They definitely have the better manager. And I think that lineup can go toe to toe with the Yankees. It's obviously the Aaron Judge effect, but I think pound for pound, the Red Sox have just as good, if not better, of a lineup too.
I like the Red Sox. I mean, with Crochet today, like against this lineup of Yankees, he's got a 40% strikeout rate. Like he's been awesome this year against them too. Like, yeah. -135 as far as today, not the series price, but just for game one, I'm getting Crochet as a dog. I'll take that. Yeah. So I think Red Sox win today. But I understand what you're saying. What about Cincinnati, LA Dodgers? Guys, is this just going to be a two-game series? Or do the Reds and their pitching have a puncher's chance here to at least push this three games?
Not going to lie. I woke up this morning, logged into one of my accounts, hovered around the plus 180 on the Reds. Kind of hovered, you know, and you hover and you don't quite.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I went. That's where I went. Nothing was submitted, but I hovered.
He hovered.
Hover moon.
Jake, I know what Jake did not do. Jake did not hover on the Dodgers because Blake Snell's pitching.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not laying minus 210 with Blake Snell in a playoff game. I honestly do think the Reds get one. I think we're going three games here. Okay. I think between Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo and Andrew Abbott, I think the Reds get one. I just don't know which one it's going to be. If I had to pick, it's probably tonight. Okay. And then I would bet the hell out of the Dodgers series price if the Reds get it tonight.
If will the Blake Padres Snell win yeah. to this afternoon, Joe, I will bet the Reds money line tonight. I promise you.
Will Blake Snell throw more than three innings?
Oh, man.
What is the outs recorded on him?
I'll say no.
Let's just go under on every Dodger.
I didn't look. Let's see.
Under.
Outs, 15 and a half.
Oh, give me that under. Give me that under.
Way under. Oh, yeah. Do we forget how Roberts operates? Oh, I can't wait. That might be my favorite bet of the day. All right, Joe O, Sammy P, NFL Awards on the other side. Then we'll get to Brad Powers. You've got the BetMGM Network.